Good afternoon. Scott Spears along with you on this Thursday, August the 16th, 2018. 18 minutes past the hour, and you are tuned into the Now program, and you are tuned in on a good day because we have a great program. Do want to remind you, coming up next hour, we're going to be joined by Rona Barrett, the original celebrity interviewer, gossip columnist is what she was referred to as in those days. We're going to talk to Rona. She was the first, by the way, to do a major interview with Donald Trump, now President Trump. So we'll talk to Rona Barrett about all that coming up next hour, and also what she's doing now, which is helping work with senior citizens. So Rona Barrett next hour. Also, don't forget, tomorrow we'll be at the Bratwurst Festival from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., broadcasting live in front of the main office, Charlie Evers and myself, tomorrow, Friday, August the 17th, 11 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon, from the 50th anniversary of the Bratwurst Festival. And the WWGH offices will be closed tomorrow because we will be over in Bucyrus at the Bratwurst Festival. Now, our first guest is one of my favorites. We can never have him on enough, because there is always something interesting going on in his life. Now, he was on this program about a week ago and discussed what was going on with the airplanes and TSA, but this offer that he's making now just blows everything else to smithereens. Now, let me read this. This is from The Amazing Kreskin. In lieu of the Associated Press story in which New York-based UMA Health offers free confidential therapy sessions to those Mets fans who are looking to vent about the team's woes. Believe it or not, this is being done to eliminate the stigma of going to a therapist, Kreskin states. That with all his background in clinical psychology, does this mean that if 20,000 people have become depressed because of the losses of their favorite team, that UMA is prepared to give, as they publicly stated, free confidential therapy sessions? On a more realistic level, that could solve the problem of depressed fans. Kreskin is formally planning to offer his services in the coming season by working with the Mets through his special techniques of mental conditioning to help them become a winning team. Oh my goodness, that is a big task with the Mets. Always a pleasure to welcome to these microphones one of my favorite guests. He was a favorite of Johnny's. He's been a favorite of so many talk show hosts over all the years, and he certainly is a favorite of mine. But can he help the Mets? Oh, that's like moving the Rock of Gibraltar. We welcome to these microphones the amazing Kreskin. Kreskin, oh my goodness, do you have your work cut out for you?
Scott, I love the way you phrase it, like moving the Rock of Gibraltar. By the way, and the interviews, as you can understand, have not stopped because the piece you just read was carried by a sports wire all over the world, and I'm getting calls everywhere saying you're going to work with a team to help train them or improve in their proficiency. And of course, the Mets have not had a good record for. It's too late. So everyone listening, and you sports fans, because I'm not knowledgeable about sports. My father played minor league baseball professionally, and my brother was a tremendous sports fan, so I would hear about it all the time. But I grew up with a gal that I dated for years, and her father worked for the school system in Essex County, New Jersey, and was the head of the sports part of the training for a grade school and high school students. But he also trained boxers, professional boxers. So I became very sophisticated about the skill of boxing. Not that I ever boxed, and also became very aware of the detrimental side of it because of boxers becoming punch drunk and what have you. Very, very sad situation. So at the same time, I'm familiar in many areas with the sports situation, but I have to tell you, if we can have a little bit to chuckle about today with all the confusion going on in an area called politics, I thought that this was charming, as people called me about 10 days ago and said, you know, the Associated Press has a story. They got me at one of the papers that I read every day out of New York, and this is where the company is called UMA Health. Now, Scott, you read it correctly. They're offering, you hear me, quote, free confidential therapy sessions, close quote. Scott, looking at things realistically and assuming that this is not simply a publicity stunt for them to gather more professional business and so forth, what if it's more than 10 or 20 people that are depressed, like, should we say, a few thousand? If that's the case, I'm very disappointed that a group of psychologists who purport to be professional are offering this for free to the public. Where were they when I was a young man and I went to see a movie by one of my favorite, all-time favorite producers, director, Alfred Hitchcock, and the movie was Psycho, and I left the theater terrified because I had seen a scene in a shower that is considered one of the most frightening scenes ever done in movies. And by the way, you young people and people studying film, we had the advantage. Those of you going to college, we had an advantage. When we went to see that film, to understand the terror that Hitchcock produced, where there was no blood, where there was very little violence, it was all in emotions and what have you, we saw it having no idea what the film is about. And when you have a star of a movie being murdered early in the movie, which no one ever dreamt would happen, the critics were wise enough not to tune us. So we were in great fear. I think they would have had a million people. As far as do I believe that they're going to be willing to treat all these folks, try to read my mind, my mind, folks. But Scott, on the realistic side, I had an answer that would ease. And incidentally, Scott, I think you would agree with me. If this is putting into depression fans of a team, when we understand what's going on today, not just the political world, but worldwide with enemies and pressure groups and what have you, I think people need to get themselves in order and understand that there are other priorities, if you know what I mean, Scott. And I'm not knocking the Mets or anything. But as far as working with them, I have worked. It's been kept private much through the years. I have worked with sports groups and what have you, and helping conditioning them to function more effectively. I don't guarantee a winning result and what have you, but what a lot of people will learn more and more about in months to come, and that's something I'm going to announce also on your show, what they're going to learn more and more about is early in my career, a psychologist by the name of Dr. Harold Hansen, bless his soul, he's from the Scandinavian countries, he was a very fine clinical PhD, legitimate psychologist, who worked in Roseland, New Jersey, and had a private practice for many years. He's no longer with us. But he saw me perform on the stage a couple of times and came to me and said, Kreskin, I was in my late teens, early, approaching my 20s. He said, I want my wife to have her child without an anesthetic. I see that you handle hypnotic techniques. and I'd like you to work with her. And I said, Dr. Hansen, I don't have my degree in psychology as yet, but I work privately with individuals referred to me in, that are in crime cases, what have you. He said, well, I've taken my wife to other sources. I said, who? And he started mentioning a number of psychiatrists and clinical people. I said, my God, they're the top authorities on hypnosis. He said, Kreskin, they weren't able to do anything with her. And I said, well, he said, I'd like you to work with her. I've seen you the way you work on stage. The bottom line is that I became very close to the Hansen family. She had a child without an anesthetic. And believe it or not, and Scott, this is one of the great thrills of my entire life. He said to me, I know you're working as a performer. That's your lifestyle. But I'd like to offer to give you a room in my office, a separate room, where I will turn over patients to you when you're not traveling and you will work with them. I did not have my degree in psychology at that point. It was unheard of, and I said, my God, what if the American Psychological Association hears about this? Dr. Hansen said to me, I will simply tell them to go to hell. I have a legitimate degree, and I'll tell them to go to hell because a lot of them should to begin with. He's a very realistic man. And I, at times, saw as many as 30 patients in 1 week, one at a time, working with them. That kind of apprenticeship, Scott, very few people in life would ever be able to accrue today. I worked with some very prominent people. I worked with professional people. I remember one man, he couldn't sit amongst a crowd. He was the head of a big corporation, but he had claustrophobia and what have you. And it was exciting to me when one of the last times I saw him, he came to me and said, Kreskin, I want you to know I went to church today to Mass, and I sat in the center of the whole congregation in church. This is unheard of because he couldn't have crowds around him. But one of the great experiences in my life was in a few years ago, the editor of a newspaper. Can I put you on hold just for 10 seconds, Scott? There's an urgent thing. Can I just for 10 seconds?
No problem at all. No problem. We're chatting here with the amazing Kreskin on WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. The amazing Kreskin, one of our favorite guests.
Interrupted as we had massive flooding in the state, and this town I live in was the hardest hit, so there were people at the door. Folks, I'm all right now. My flooding has been cleared in my house and what have you. But I was approached by a boxing manager. And his name was Lou DiBella, and he had a number of boxers he wanted me to work with and see if I could condition them. No, don't misunderstand me. Not to not feel pain, that would be irresponsible of me, but to be more alert to the person that they were boxing with, and having gotten to know my girlfriend's father, I became very familiar. So I worked with people you wouldn't know, but one was Gabriel Brasero and Shemal Pagan. But the exciting thing is that I worked with a woman. Her name was Heather the Heat Hardy. And I'm not a fan of boxing. But she is, and certainly was an outstanding at that time. Even at that time, 2013, known as a top professional boxer. What I trained her to do was to, as she stood in the ring with her adversaries, I trained her to be so alert to her combatants that she was able to almost anticipate the approaches before they were addressed to her. The exciting thing is, and my secretary probably will hand me the one sheeter about Heather. Is it on the table over there? The exciting thing is that she went into a heavyweight championship bout, and she won a lightweight championship bout. I don't have the page in which she won. That's my fault. But she, and I wanted to read to you, it was going to be in front of me here, but it turns out that she won the light heavyweight championship of the world, and I was brought into the I got it right in front of me here. I'm sorry. The congratulations are that Heather the Heat Hardy on winning the WBC International Junior Featherweight Championship of the World. And at the end of the boxing match was in New York at a major event there. I was brought into the ring for about 15 minutes, and she thanked me for being helping her to be part of the winning. Isn't that exciting that that took place?
That's very nice. Now, but the Mets, I don't know, the Mets are might be a little worse here than Heather. Now, how are we going to get the Mets?
Oh, they've had a terrible year.
Terrible.
Scott, all I can do is this, and folks, don't misunderstand me. I'm not promising them miracles or what have you. In the situation of the some of the golfers, and I've worked with a marksman that was in the Olympics, and some of the international events, what have you. But in the case of the Mets, I would have to be. And by the way, the special. My offer was sent to the head of the Mets, and I believe they received it yesterday. And by the way, no, I'm not doing this as some just some piece of PR, because when I work with the team, it's going to be privately done. I need to see them maybe 5, 6, 7 times, and I'm not doing this casually. I'm offering to do this for a fee, because this is a professional scenario. But the situation is this: as a team, losses and successes tend to reverberate amongst them, because we are more suggestible and influenced as we're part of a group. That's why riots are more successful than individuals. That's why teams are extremely successful. That's why movements and crowds become more powerful. So the negative losses are much impacting them as much as the positive. I need to work with them as a group, and also see them as each of the times the hour I spend with them, see some of them privately for just a few minutes, where I'm going to condition them on certain techniques that they will practice by themselves, not as a team. They will practice as a team when I see them once a week for 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks. And I will influence them so that they will have a greater energy, a greater mental energy, a greater powerful source of thinking in a most positive way. They have the directions in which they need to go, but I'm going to strengthen that directions. Now, I've worked with golfers through the years, and golfing is one of the best examples I give, which when I speak before psychological groups or motivational groups, this becomes one of the most important examples. And it's an important example in life. A golfer addresses a ball that's on the ground in front of them, but he never hits that ball until he sees where it's going. That's the message I give to university students. This is a message I give when I have seminars for people in businesses or life. And, of course, it's a powerful message in all areas of sports, because the direction that they see and enhance, and as I teach them to rehearse certain areas, if their activity is in certain areas of the team, whether it's being a catcher or a pitcher or what have you, it's something that I have a way of strengthening and conditioning them. So that's part of what I will do.
You know, that's very interesting, Kreskin. Now, these people who are depressed, who are going to this UMA Health, do they have to talk about the Mets, or can they talk about themselves?
The people that are the depressed that want to go for help?
Yeah, the people who, you know, the UMA...
Scott, to be honest with you, I'd like to have a press conference with all the people that are going for help, because it would be a major, major international story if this group is going to see each of those people individually. Let's be realistic, Scott. I'm not saying that it's not going to happen, but I'd love to see what the excuses might be. I have the funniest feeling that people are going to have to fill out forms and be sent things. Do you really think that a group of psychologists are going to be able to see a few thousand people?
It'd be very, very difficult. But you know, when it's
difficult, Scott, especially when they offer it individually, Scott, I can understand a mass group and what have. Scott, I may, as an alternative, send them to someone who has a strong personality image and can communicate well, a person by the name of Scott Spears, but he'd have to see them as a group, a large group, of course.
It'd be a group get-together.
But I thought, you know, and I couldn't believe, it's nice to see this happening, but I was really quite delighted to see that this has suddenly gotten international coverage. But the Mets, you know, have been with us quite a long time. I knew a man that, I don't know if you were old enough to be around when his voice loomed as, to me, one of the greatest sportscasters of all time, and that was Mel Allen, the voice of the Yankees.
Yes.
When he died, many of the people in the sports industry said, we wish we could find the right person to do his eulogy, because he was incredibly powerful, and he communicated very, you know, those were the days, Scott, and you know this being in radio, and I compliment you, those of you doing live radio. Let me tell you what the plus was, and this is as a person who's not a sports authority. I can remember sitting at home as a kid, my father playing the Yankees because that was his team and to listen to. My brother became a sports fan and would listen to the Yankee coverage and everything. And then there was a rain time. It rained. It rained heavily. Well, when the network, whatever station they were on, they just couldn't close down the network and so forth. Nor could they play endless amounts of video footage and what have you. So what did Mel Allen do? He traveled with the Yankees. I got to know him because we appeared at certain concerts and public affairs where he spoke and I performed later on. Mel Allen would simply sit in the air and recount off of his memory countless incidents and stories because he traveled with the Yankees, and it became a fascinating background of experiences. That's a special kind of sportscaster, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. He was one of the greats. But now, see, the Mets here, when we get back to this, is there any fear on your behalf that they will still be what they call the lovable losers?
Well, I can't. You ask a very important and question, which I would answer honestly. I can't say that there's an absolute guarantee. You know, first of all, accidents happen with teams too, and I've seen, you know, major teams have a difficult time when key players, because of accidents taking place. And I'm not saying there's going to be accidents. No, I don't. I'm not saying I don't foresee anything like that. There's no absolute guarantee. But I'll tell you one thing. I think I can get them more. I think I can give them more than they've gotten in the past year. That I feel strongly I can give them, because I know my work. This is not some frivolous thing. And by the way, the sessions with them are going to be approximately an hour each session, and it will be with them as a group, as a team, not with video cameras there and everything else. No, this is not a show. This is a highly personalized conditioning experience, and I feel I have something to give them. But as far as guaranteeing that they're going to become, the major successes, I can't say that for sure.
Now, do you think, because sports people are a different type of people, do you think you
I know.
Do you think they'll be able to focus in for an hour?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. No, I have no question about it, because I've worked with people in the Olympics. I've worked with teams. I've even worked with, early in my career, a bowling team. Well, that was an interesting thing.
A bowling team?
Yeah. When you hit down all the pins, what's it called? A strike. Yeah. Well, very famous. It was a big story then, because I was in my late teens at that time, and I walked into there was a team playing at this major bowling alley here in town. It was a town team, and one person amongst the group I conditioned had, should we say, and I'm not sure whether six, seven, or eight strikes in a row. Jesus, I started getting calls. So, Chris, can we hire you? We were going to bet on what the team. No, I don't. I'm not. I don't do things. I'm not going to get in the gambling area of the business. So anyway, but
well, it's fascinating.
Now there are people. Scott, who would like to hire me, to ask me, Kreskin, is there a way that you can influence a team that our favorite team is playing against? Now, I would never do anything, and that's, I'm only doing that tongue-in-cheek, Scott, forgive me.
Well, here's it's interesting because here in Ohio, it's not baseball, but we have the Cleveland Browns, which are the it's the worst team in football.
Just in football, awful. Scott, in football.
Football, yeah, just awful. And but everybody always goes and watches the games. The stadium is filled whenever they play.
Wow,
but they
that's
stink.
Great.
They stink. And I don't know if there's anything that can be done to help them. And I equate that to the Mets. But apparently,
the Mets, I feel, can be. They've had some successful seasons. There's no question they have. They made one major mistake, which sports writers have mentioned to me in the past few weeks, and I don't have the name, but they sold one player, and I've asked some of these sports authorities why, and they say, Kreskin, don't ask us, but this is in the recent year or two, and Chris, that can have a negative impact psychologically, and also on the six. I don't want to go into that further because I don't want to play, you know, vague games and what have you. But it's an interesting, and it's kind of exciting to see. By the way, I've got to tell you just on the side. I want your listeners to know that I made a decision, and it's only the past few weeks. I'm now entering a commentary. We're doing it live on Facebook because so many people in the entertainment and interest areas said, Kreskin, why don't you just, you're not doing a performance or a show, but offer. So I'm commenting on, and my commentary, my verbal commentary on this is is being done live for Facebook and then, of course, repeated. And I've commented on other things as well. By the way, and you'll get a kick out of talking about the power of negativeness. Scott, so help me God, if you're not aware of this, and a lot of people are not today. Maybe you heard about a couple of weeks ago. So help me. Reports came out of England and the United States that wearing a necktie too tightly can affect your brain functions. Have you heard about this, Scott?
I have not heard about that.
You've not heard about the no. Well, I got news for you. I got news for all of you and people. I've been called by mainly people, writers and columnists in the entertainment field, and say, Kreskin, your signature is the red tie you wear on television and on the stage. We've seen you all when you were off Broadway last month. I said, it sure is. They said, what damage? I said, and this is my stand. The answer is, if it's damaged me, it's too late. Because I'm 83 years old, and I'm performing constantly, like last year, almost 200 appearances. I don't go to the right now. I was 364 the year before. Anyway, but the bottom line is, if it's damaged me, it's too late to change things. And now it comes through that there are some scientific groups that think that this is pointless to worry about. Yes, at times it may, at once in a while, cut down circulation, but it may benefit in other areas. There's a solution to something like in this area, Scott, and I hope this is done. I hope I'm not letting out a special secret, but just put the tie on slightly looser. It seems to me, Scott, that would kind of lessen the pressure or not have collars so tight. One of my comments, and I don't know which comedians have referred to, but they told me, Chris, you've quoted, my theory is that if there's some prominent people and others that have been constricted, it's not because the tie was too tight. And I held up what I thought. It was something that men wear around their waist that are very much abbreviated and awfully tight. And it may have constricted some areas of activity. Without going into pornography, I'm going to end it there, Scott.
You know what I was just thinking about, Kreskin, when you brought that up? I thought, you know, there used to be a day when you went and bought a dress shirt, and every man knew his neck size.
That's right.
But I see it. I see people now, and I'm not sure it has to do with ties, but I know that neck is cutting off the circulation to their brain.
Well, people are not, it's not as, you know, there was a day, and maybe it's still true in Ohio and what have you, not true here. There was a day when you went to buy shoes that you sat down and someone measured your foot and adjusted and so forth. Do you know most shoe stores don't have that offer anymore?
You know, I used to work in a shoe store. I did that.
And Scott, that's not available. You know it's not available in most places anymore?
Well, I still have my rubric. I can go out and do it.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, the people can go to a store, and your shoe will not be measured. They will not find the right fitting and so forth. By the way, I gotta also mention you'll get a kick out of this because you followed my career through the years. I can't believe the response to some areas of the country that they've shown the movie in which John Malkovich plays me, you know, the great Buck Howard. And the theater has rented it for a special night or a special afternoon, and then after the movie, they're doing what a lot of performers, movie stars are doing. And I don't consider myself a movie star, but since John Malkovich played me in the movie, and it was written by a road manager of mine, his mannerisms, he studied me as Tom Hanks has said, he studied me for days to get all, because Hanks produced the movie. But after the movie, I attended, and we had a Q&A. And do you know the last Q&A, which was last week, went for 1 hour and 20 minutes? It's interesting. I'm being asked questions that it's kind of fascinating what the public would like to know about me, my personal life. Do I use these abilities when I'm with people privately and what have you? How can I, how long does it take me to be prepared to go on stage and on? And they asked me 1 hour and 20 minutes. So I got such a kick out of it because I, by the way, I didn't have to watch my movie over again. I'm only joking. I've seen it a number of times. But it's so neat to see what the public reflects of their interest. I don't know, Scott, I'm going to be leaving because I'm flying in the middle of the night to Canada for shows out there, but we got to keep in touch, Scott. That's all I can say.
We certainly do. I just have one parting question before we hang up here, Kreskin. When you studied clinical psychology, did you ever see people on a private basis?
Well, this is very, yes, I did. Yes, I did privately. I saw, but this is what's very interesting. The head of the psychology department of Seton Hall University, where I attended, I was performing because you were only allowed to miss like 3 or 4 classes a semester. But because of the markings I got and because of my background, they overlooked that. There was one class where I only attended 4 classes the entire semester, but I got high marks, and thank God the school did let me go because my career was very important to me. But I have to tell you this, that one of the producers of the Today Show, I don't know if he's there this year, but he was there for years, would always remind me of this. He said, Kreskin, don't you remember? I was in a class with you when you were studying general psychology. And the reason he would bring it up, he said, I never forgot. In that first year that I was in class, Scott, the head of the department had me teach 4 or 5 weeks of classes. He said, Kreskin, he says, you don't have your degree, but you've had more practical experience in an area that you're in that I don't understand. And I taught classes. Can you imagine that?
Oh, man. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in one of those classes.
Well, it was very special in my life. I received an honorary PhD degree from the university, but my life has been, it's a side of my career that people don't know about. My life has been like an adventure. Who would have ever dreamt one that I'd be teaching classes? I mean, and I don't mean usurping the functions of the professor, but for him to think that highly, his remark was that he offered to the press and it was used for years. And that's one of the quotes that I look back upon. He said, Kreskin, you understand that this was when I was like 18, 19 years old. He said, Kreskin has developed a strikingly unique and different method of communication that may take more than 50 years to become common. It hasn't happened, but it's a neat thing. I got to go now, Scott.
Well, Kreskin, I wish you the best on your travels, and I hope you can help the Mets out here. But like I say, rock a Gibraltar, a beach ball through the eye of a needle. But if anybody can do it, you can.
Thank you, Scott. And talk to you soon, and Scott, to be continued. Take care, my friend.
Stay well, Kreskin. Bye-bye. The amazing Kreskin, the one and only. You know that he's always a lot of fun. If anybody has a question, then give us a call now. We do have about 8 minutes left in the hour here, so we have some time. 740-383-9944. Now, don't forget, tomorrow, WWGH Radio, Friday, August 17th, from 11:10 a.m. to 3 p.m., will be broadcasting live from the 2018 Bratwurst Festival. Charlie Evers and myself will broadcast interviews with festival officials and participants, all back here to Marion Live. You'll be able to hear it on the radio from 11:10 a.m. to 3 p.m. You can listen live on the internet at wwgh1071.com or on any mobile device by downloading the free TuneIn app and searching WWGH. And our offices here on Center Street will be closed on August the 17th because of this. So if you have any tickets to pick up or anything of that nature, do it before 2:30 today, because tomorrow we will be closed. Or you can wait till Monday. We'll be back in the office on Monday, August the 20th. Telephone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Do you think the amazing Kreskin can make the Mets a hit? Do you think he can help them out? Do you think he could help the Browns out? It's hard to tell. 740-383-9944. Now, we do have some trivia questions we can do before we go into Rona Barrett. Remember Rona Barrett next hour? Legendary gossip columnist, celebrity interviewer extraordinaire. But today she's going to be talking about how the elderly are treated and what she's doing to help that out. So it's going to be very fascinating. Rona Barrett coming up at 1:10 today. But trivia questions we've had on the table that we have not had answers to. Hope you enjoyed the interview yesterday, by the way, with Carl Anthony, who's the author of the Florence Harding book. So hopefully we learned some things about Florence Harding yesterday that maybe we did not know, and maybe we will get Carl Anthony on again sometime in the future to go more in-depth on Florence Harding, the First Lady from Marion, Ohio. Just Florence Harding. But the trivia questions we have on the table here is we have about 9 minutes left to go. What year was the last charity ball? When was the last charity ball? 740-383-9944. Now, we do have tickets to COSI. We have tickets to Zumbezi Bay. We have tickets to Tecumseh. We have tickets to the Wilds, Jack Hanna's Wilds Safari. We have Huntsman Auto Oil Change, 5 quarts of non-synthetic oil for automobiles only. Just call in and answer a question. Or if you just want to call in and see if you get the question right, that would be fun too. 740-383-9944. When was the last charity ball? We've had a lot of guesses on this, but not the correct one yet. When was the last charity ball? 740-383-9944. Now, another question. Maybe you got the answer yesterday while you were listening to Carl Anthony talk about Florence Harding. Why did Amos Kling, Florence Harding's father, already dislike Warren Harding even before his daughter Florence got involved with him? Now, you have to think of the times. Remember, Amos Kling was a very well-to-do man here in Marion, very rich man, and Warren Harding was running the newspaper. Why do you think they might have had a conflict? 740-383-9944. Then the question I thought for sure we would get that nobody has gotten yet is, what did Warren G. Harding's father do first as the president, as the father of a president, that has only been done one other time? In the 45 presidents we've had, this has only been done twice, and Warren G. Harding's father was the first father of a president to do it. What was it? 740-383-9944. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, Warren G. Harding's father, before his son took office, told the press something that was untrue. He told them that he was going to be the first presidential father to do something, but in reality, he was not going to be the first presidential father to do that. What did Warren G. Harding's father tell the press that was not true? 740-383-9944. Then we had some guesses at this question the other day. John Dean, who I actually saw on CNN last night, wrote a book in the 80s, early 90s on Warren G. Harding. Now, he dedicated the book to a famous... Well, he dedicated the book to a Marion person. Now, the person was not actually born in Marion, but they were considered a Marion person. Who did John Dean dedicate his book to Warren G. Harding to? A Marion person. 740-383-9944. And then, of course, we've had our long-standing question. What did Florence Harding do first as First Lady of the United States that later became popular by Eleanor Roosevelt and Hillary Clinton, but Florence Harding was the first First Lady to do this? Now, yesterday, I think in that interview, Carl Anthony might have mentioned what that was. Does anybody have a guess? 740-383-9944. What was Florence Harding, what did she do first as First Lady of the United States that later became popular by Eleanor Roosevelt and Hillary Clinton, but Florence Harding was the first First Lady to do it? 740-383-9944. Does anybody want to guess at any of those questions? We have some minutes left here before the hour is up. And don't forget Rona Barrett coming up next hour. Does anybody know, I don't have the letter with me or I'd read it again, but does anybody know the FBI letter that I have read, a former classified letter by the FBI? I've read it over and over on the air. It was about a group out of Pennsylvania trying to get money. They were soliciting money to buy time for a person to get on the radio once a week. Now, this person has Ohio ties, and they were being followed by the FBI, which probably means they were somewhat controversial. Does anybody know who that letter was written about that I have read on the air a couple times here? Who was that letter written about? It was an Ohio person who eventually did make it on the radio. Who would that have been? 740-383-9944. We've got about 4 minutes left here, so if you want to venture a guess, go right ahead and do so. And a reminder, again, tomorrow, August the 17th, from 11:10 a.m. till 3 p.m., we will be broadcasting from the 2018 Bratwurst Festival. Charlie Evers and myself will be right in front of the main office over there, talking with Bratwurst Festival officials and participants, and we'll be sending that back to you over the airwaves, live here in Marion. You can listen live on the dial at 107.1 FM, or you can listen live on the internet at wwgh1071.com, or if you have a mobile device, you can download the TuneIn app, which is absolutely free, T-U-N-E-I-N, and search WWGH. Now remember, because of this, the WWGH offices will be closed tomorrow, Friday, August the 17th. We will not be here tomorrow. So if you want to pick up a prize, you've got to do that before 2:30 today, or wait until Monday. We'll be back in the office Monday, August the 20th. Can you believe people are already starting back to school and all these things are already happening again? I believe some school districts started yesterday. It's amazing. But we're still taking guesses here. 740-383-9944. Why did Florence Harding's father, Amos Kling, dislike Warren Harding before his daughter even got involved with him? What was Warren Harding's father the first presidential father to do? What did he do as a presidential father that was the first? Now, Only one other presidential father has ever done this in the history of the 45 presidents we have, but Warren Harding's father, Dr. Harding, was actually the first father of a president to do this. What could he have done? 740-383-9944. And then conversely, he told reporters, Dr. Harding, Warren Harding's father, that he had done something, he was going to be doing something first as the father of a president before his son was inaugurated in 1921. But it turns out he was not the first presidential father who was going to be doing this. So it turned out to be a lie. What was that? 740-383-9944. Also, when was the last charity ball? When was the last charity ball in Marion? We know they went on for 80 years and they went to fund the Well Baby Clinic. When was the last year that Marion had a charity ball? 740-383-9944. And don't forget, we've got tickets to COSI here. We've got tickets to Zumbeezy Bay. I think it's going to be a nice weekend for that. We've got tickets to the Wilds, Jack Hanna's Safari. We've got tickets to Tecumseh, which as long as you make your reservation before August 31st, you should be good there. We have got a Huntsman Auto Oil Change, 5 quarts of non-synthetic oil for automobiles only. Does anybody want to guess before we go to break here today? 740-383-9944. We're going to break in about 10 seconds here. Does anybody want to venture any guess before we come back with Rona Barrett? 740-383-9944. Well, it looks like this one is out of the bag. We're going to break. Talk to you in about 10 minutes.
Fair. Tecumseh. Captivating. Fascinating.